सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। हरिः ॐ श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः। हरिः ॐ। A very, very happy and peaceful new year to all of you. I hope you all have had a good holiday season and are back. Just a real quick revision of the chapter, since there has been a bit of a break. We started the chapter with 7 questions by Arjuna. The first 6 were answered in the first 2 verses right away. Whereas the last one, which was, how does a man of controlled mind, a man who has controlled his mind, how does he remember you at the end of his life? So Bhagavan started saying that the one who remembers me will come to me, because the principle is that whatever is your last thought before giving up the body, that is the abode that you shall reach. It seems a very simple instruction and is misunderstood by a lot of people, saying that if I can just remember him and go to him at the last minute, I can go to him by remembering him at the last minute, why should I do it right now? The very important point is that what you have not done throughout your life, there's no way that you will remember it at the time of death. So whatever effort that you have put in throughout your life, for whatever practice, it could be driving, singing, you know, art, reading, whatever practice you've put, that much, it will become easier in your old age. Practice makes perfect. So if we have practiced taking the name of the Lord, if we have practiced remembering him throughout our life, then alone this will be possible. And then alone we can go to him, we can reach him. That is his statement. So he has made a statement and that stays. And then he went on to explain to us in verse 9, all the, of course he said, abhyas yoga yuktena chetanai anyaya. So one who has done practice of controlling his mind and keeping his mind at the feet of the Lord will very easily attain him. And in 9, he gave us a description of himself. So the words are given for us to understand and remember him that way. We don't have to remember all the words, Kavim, Purana, Manusha, Sitaram, Anoraniyan. We can even actually just remember one, and that should be enough. And then he also told us the way, this is the way from 10 onwards, the yogis. You know, we have heard of people taking samadhi, like Sant Nanneshwar, you know, they are the ones that do this because they have controlled their mind for so long throughout their life that the mind is now completely under their control. So pranakale, at the time of departure, by the strength of yoga means the practice of yoga. So the practice which has given them the strength, which has made it now very, very easy, they will bring their pranas over here and then let go of the pranas from the head. And that is how they will reach us. But this, don't think that is very easy. It has to be practiced. So then he quotes a verse from Kathopanishad that whatever is being declared by the Vedas as imperishable, I will tell you what it is and how to reach it. So sarva dvarani sanyamam, keeping the mind under your control, mind and senses. Om ittekaksharam brahma. So meditate on the Om. We have discussed this word Om, a very, very potent letter which represents the lower and higher prakriti of the Lord. Om representing the 3 states, waking, dream and deep sleep, and the silence between the 2 Oms representing the 4th state known as Turiya. So it represents both higher and lower prakriti of the Lord. And then Bhagwan says that those who remember me, I'm really very easily available. The problem is that people don't just remember me. And why do the people not remember me? Is because the mind is extremely extroverted, and because the world glitters so much, the mind gets attracted towards the world, towards the not self, towards the impermanent. And even though I'm very easily available, people don't turn towards me. Okay. And why should people turn towards you? And why should people remember you? So he gives the reason in 15. He says that those who remember me will come to me, and that will be the end of their journey. Otherwise, they have to keep coming back again and again into this samsara, which is dukkhalayam ashashvatam. It is alaya. It is an abode of dukkha, of sorrow. I told you, whatever is sukha, in the end, it becomes dukkha. It becomes sorrow. But whatever is sorrow always remains sorrow. It never, sorrow never converts into sukha. Sukha converts into sorrow. And that is why also Bhagavan Buddha has said, sarvam kshanikam kshanikam sarvam dukkham. That which is impermanent is definitely a cause for sorrow only. So only the permanent is the cause of bliss. And so he says, the idea of remembering me is I'm the only permanent thing here. And so you should come to me. Otherwise, then you will always be coming back and back into this mortal world, which is nothing but an abode of sorrow. Okay. And then he talks about this Brahma Loka. So Bhagavan says, yes, there are these higher lokas which people can attain by doing more and more karma and upasana, but then all those lokas are a point of return. So the one who comes to me, Kaunteya, mam upetya tu Kaunteya, the one who attains me, mam upaiti, means he is attaining me, punarjanmana vidyate, he doesn't come back into this world. Whereas the people who go to higher, I told you, as their merits finish, they have to come back. Okay. And then he talked about time. So what time was? Sahasra Yuga Paryantam. So we have these four yugas, and then the four yugas become one kalpa, and then Brahmaji's one day when he opens his eyes is thousand kalpas is one day, and thousand kalpas is one night. So when Brahmaji opens his eyes, the creation happens. And when he closes his eyes, there is the deluge or the pralaya. And then the very important verse I told you here, 19, is that the same beings keep coming again and again. So this is where the Hindu philosophy of rebirth is. We have the proof here, right, in the Bhagavad Gita, that there is rebirth and that the same jivas are getting recycled. So not that there are new jivas which are getting created, the same jivas, because of their vasana banks, they have accumulated so many vasanas, those vasanas have to be exhausted, and that's why they have to come back. Okay. And then if they don't want to come back, then they must paramam gatim, they must achieve the supreme, which is me. Yam prapya na nivartante tad dhama paramam mamam. That abode is mine from which there is no return. All right. And then he goes on to say that how does one attain this? Tad dhama paramam tad dhama, paramam dhama, supreme abode, is by devotion alone. We had completed till this, and we will start from 23 onwards. And from here onwards, he talks of krama mukti. I told you there are three types of muktis, mukti liberation. One is videha mukti, which we are very familiar with. Videha means when the deha falls, when the body falls, means after death, physical death of a person, the person attains liberation. Then there is jivan mukti, which means that while the person is alive, he is completely liberated. So when once he dies, of course, there is no, he's already liberated while living. So there's no question of him not being liberated after death. He's liberated. And then this krama mukti, that is what he will talk. Krama mukti is, krama is stages, in stages. So as the person is doing more and more karma and more upasana, actually, he goes into higher and higher worlds. And the highest world is Brahmaloka. And where Brahmaji, the creator, is the presiding deity there, and he himself gives knowledge, it is said. One thing about this krama mukti is that we have no proof Nobody has come back to tell us that I reached Brahmaloka, then Brahmaji gave me the knowledge, then I liberated. Whereas Jivan Mukta Purusha or Videya Mukta, we can see, we have proof. We have seen Jivan Mukta Purushas. We have seen realized masters. So Krama Mukti, of course, we do have faith. Why? Because the scriptures are saying it. Bhagwan is saying it. So of course it is there. But Bhagwan Shankaracharya's words, he says, instead of putting that much effort for Krama Mukti, you may as well, in that same effort, you will get Jivan Mukti liberation right here and now. So now this, he will talk about what about the two paths after death.
Yatra kaletva navrutim, avrutim chaiva yoginaha, prayata yantitam kalam, vakshami bharatarshabha.
Now at what time, path departing, yogins go never to return, as also to return, that time path I will tell you, O chief of Bharatas. So he says that there are two paths. One is yogins go never to return. Okay, that path. So what is that path? What is never to return? He has already said this Paramam Dhamma, which is my abode, from there people don't return. So that is his. And then as also to return. So what are this as also to return? These are the higher lokas. Okay, so higher lokas one can get, but there is a point of return and there is one point which is a point of no return. Now, one thing we must understand in this verse is that this verse is not referring to any of the sinners. This verse is referring only to the good people. It is not at all anything to do with bad. So all these people, yogins, they are good people. However, there are people all people are doing good work. All these people are doing good work. But among these people, there are some who are doing it with sakama bhava and some who are doing it with nishkama bhava. That is the difference. They're good only. They're doing good for others. But the first kind is there is a slight what is in it for me attitude, or there is a thought that if I do good in this life, I will get that higher world. So that little bit of thought is there. Okay. Whereas the other yogins who reach the point of no return, they are doing it just for the sake of doing, just for purifying the mind alone. So there is not an ulterior motive. Somebody will say, thank you. So I'll get some reward. I will get some, you know, some people don't want money, but then they do accept, expect recognition. That's why Karma Yoga becomes very difficult. Because somewhere along the line, even in the beginning, if we may do it without expectation, if we do not really receive anything, if we can stay firm in that karma yoga, that is the best. But sometime the thought comes, you know, my God, I did so much. What did I get? Nobody recognized me. Nobody thinks that I'm doing good work. So that sort of thing. So that's why this verse, the word used is yogins. So he is a karma yogi. But karma yogi with some sort of expectation. So he's not actually a karma, but he's doing good work. Nobody is doing bad work. That needs to be understood here. Okay. So it's only referring to the good people. So now he's going to tell us these two paths. Vakshami Bharata, oh, best among the Bharata dynasty. Rishabha is the bull. So a bull is considered strong. So anyway, it's best among, that's his referring to Arjuna. Yatra kale, what time, what path when people leave. So we shall see the two paths now.
Agnir jyotiraha shuklaha shanmasa uttarayanam tatra prayata gacchanti brahma brahma vidojanaha.
Fire, light, daytime, the bright fortnight, the 6 months of the northern solstice, following this path, men who know Brahman go to Brahman. All right. So we are going to look at these three verses. First, we'll look at the superficial meaning and then we'll look at the subjective meaning together. So fire, Agni, fire, Jyoti, light. Aha is day. Shukla. Shukla is white. So pure. Okay. and Shanmasa, 6 months, Uttarayan. Uttarayanam, Utta means going upwards. Utta means up, up. So when it said Uttarayan, if you know in Mahabharata, if you remember Bhishmacharya, when he was on the bed of arrows, he actually postponed his death because he was given the boon that he can choose when to die. He postponed it till the Uttarayan started. January. It starts January 14th. Now it will start this Uttarayan around approximately. That's why it's that northern solstice. It's called Sankrant, what we call. Okay. And he says that those who go by this path, they reach Brahman. Brahman here, a point of no return. Okay. All right. Then, Dhumo Ratri Sthata Krishna Shanmasa Dakshinayanam Tatra Chandramasam Jyotihi Yogi Prapya Nivartate. Smoke, night time, the dark fortnight, also the 6 months of the southern solstice, attaining by these to the moon, the lunar light, the yogi returns. So this is the path of return. And yogi, so it's not a papi. Not that he has done bad work and therefore, no, but he has done work with sakama drishti. Sakama, with some desire. Could be very, very subtle. You know, that's what I was reading this, and that's what I was thinking. See, some people, you know, they say, actually my own aunt used to say this, when her son way, way, way back came to the States, she would feed somebody or whatever, and then she would say, you know, I'm feeding so that at least maybe somebody, because that time not there were that many people in the States, and now it's there's a lot of people. There's somebody in the States will feed my son. See, she was not asking for herself, but that's her, it's a good job. She's doing a good work by, you know, feeding somebody. But then that thought was there that somebody, so you may not directly ask for yourself, but there is some expectation that somebody will help my child. My child is so far away. Somebody will feed my child, that sort of thing. So that is what this is referring to. Okay. So that they're doing good work, but a little bit of expectation is there. All right. Now,
Shukla Krishne Gati Hete Jagata Shashvate Mate Ekaya Yatyana Vruttim Anyaya Vartate Punaha.
The path of light, that was the first one, and the path of darkness available for the world are verily thought to be both eternal. By the one, the path of light, a man goes to return not. By the other, the path of darkness, he returns again. All right. So basically, he's concluding and he's saying, I've told you these two paths, the path of light and the path of darkness. And they're said to be both eternal. It means they will happen eternal. But this eternity doesn't depend to, in the sense, the path is there for sure. Eternally, the path is there. But it is taking him to a point of return. Okay, so now let's look at this a little bit deeper. So when we look at verse 24, Agnihi, fire. Fire, if you remember Tattvabodh, fire is the deity of speech. It's from, okay, fire is the deity of speech. That's why you say fiery speech. He has a fiery speech, fire. Jyotihi, light, is the deity of the eyes. Eyes cannot function without light, and therefore Jyoti is light. And is daytime. Daytime is one where we can see things clearly. See, all these Agni, they give light. Agni gives light. Jyoti, again, flame, so light. Day, light. And Shukla, white, which is again pure and daylight. When our mind is pure, we can think clearly. Okay. So the idea here is that why is it being said Agni? What is this path? Is there like a real path? Not like that. Agni being the deity of the speech, what he's saying is the person who by speech will always be chanting the name of the Lord. His speech will always be good. His speech will not hurt anybody, or at least he will not do it on purpose. Okay? That is the subjective meaning of this verse. Jyoti, eyes. With his eyes, he only desires to see the form of the Lord and not the world. What our eyes want to do is go into the glitter of the world. But if the, that's why he said by devotion, right? So a devotee, what does he want to do? He only wants to see the form of the Lord everywhere. And not only that, when his devotion reaches a certain stage, no matter where he looks at, he sees God only. Like Mirabai, you know, wherever she looked, she thought it was Krishna. So when whatever came, she thought Krishna only sent me. So she drank the poison, whatever. So that is the meaning of this jyoti, eyes. So he craves only for God. He wants to only see God. He will only, like Ramakrishna Paramahansa, he used to cry, you know. Every day he used to cry. Oh, mother, when are you going to give me darshan? When are you going to give me? So, jyoti. Aha, daylight, where we can see things clearly. Means, see means not physically see, but think clearly. Ki what is right, what is wrong? Light. And then Shukla, pure, purity of mind, purity of the senses. So when we have all these purities, then we will go to higher worlds. That is what is meant here. And so as spiritual seekers, this should be our practice, that we should try and read more of the Lord. We should talk more. You know, we talk all gossip and nonsense and all that, right? I knew a lady, she has passed on now. She, simple, you know, whenever she was doing cooking, she'll chant something of the Lord constantly. Just chanting, talking about the Lord, like, you know. So that is the idea here. As opposed to this, dhuma is smoke. Smoke, in smoke, we can't see clearly. Right? When there is a smoke, we can't see clearly. So this refers to the smoke of desires. So when we have a whole lot of desires in our mind, we cannot think clearly. We cannot, because our whole intellect is clouded by that desire. So we have desire for this not self, whatever is there in this world, and we are running after that. We have no time to think of the Lord. Smoky desire. That's why this path is set for those who have some expectation in the mind. It may not be such a big, but even a little bit of expectation spoils that karma yoga. Maybe not money, but at least somebody should say thank you. Somebody should say I did good work, something like that. And Ratri is nighttime. So again, you can't see very well, right? So then, in the smoky desires, then you don't know your path clearly because of the desires. Krishna is dark. Krishna means black, actually, dark. So that's why this Dakshinayanam, this is the path where people are harboring desires. They're doing good work. Not that they're doing bad work for, you know, this is not, I told you, this is not referring to, you know. So because of that desires, what happens is they have to come back, because that desire has to be fulfilled. No, somewhere along the line, the desire, that baggage is there. So to fulfill that baggage, to fulfill those desires, they have to come back. And that's why these type of people, they go in the southern solstice, and they go to a point of return. Means they will get rebirth because of those desires that they have harbored in their mind. And it is the Chandramasam Jyoti Yogi, the moon. See, moon is the deity of the mind. Understand? So what happens is, with these people, they are living at the level of the mind. All these desires are not coming in intellect. Desires is at the level of the mind. So they are living at the level of, see, desire comes maybe to a yogi also. But what happens is he uses his intellect. As spiritual seekers, that is what we have to do. A desire will come in our mind. There is, you know, you can't help it. But the intellect should be there to tell you that, look, this desire is now taking you away from your path. So don't indulge in that desire. Come back on the path. But because of this smoke, like so many desires are there that the intellect is now clouded, and they cannot see what is right and what is wrong. And that is why this is the path of the moon. Moon is the deity of the mind. So those who live at the, you know, there are people who say, oh, I should be able to do whatever that I like to do. Especially young children, right? Teenagers, they're like, that's why they get upset when parents say, no, don't do that or don't do this. So living at the level of the mind is not a good idea for spiritual seekers. We must always live at the level of the intellect. So the intellect will always tell us what is right, what is wrong. There is need, there is desire. Okay, if it's a need, of course it has to be fulfilled. Is this a desire? What is this for? So those type of questions, they will come from the intellect. And that is how when we lead our life, then we will go in that Uttarayan, in the northern direction. Okay. So therefore, here he concludes in 26 that these are the two paths, path of light, where path suddenly doesn't come at the end or after death. That path has to be chosen by us while living. Right? Eyes, speech, everything we have right now. That's why this is being told right now. So when we follow it right now, at the time of death, they will all take us there higher. All right. Now, what is the gain in knowing? Why should I know these two paths? Basically, why should I know these two paths is to figure out which path I want to go into. Right? Naite sruti partha janan yogi muhyati kashchana tasmat sarveshu kaleshu yoga yukto bhavarjuna. Knowing these paths, O Partha, no yogin is deluded. Therefore, at all times, be steadfast in yoga, O Arjuna. So, like I said, why do I want to know the two paths? So that I can choose. I have an intellect now. So I can choose which path do I want to go. If I didn't know these two paths, I would not have known this. That there are these two paths, which are eternal. Means they are always there. They are always going to be there. It's my choice. And therefore, when my mind is pure enough, then this knowledge will become very clear in the intellect. And then the intellect will be able to make a correct choice. Right? And that is why this thing. And Shanmasa, the other interpretation of this 6 months is, generally half our life is wasted. You know, we are sleeping, gossiping, entertaining ourselves. So practically 50% of our life is actually really wasted. Very little time. And then there is eating and there is, you know, going to work and all this. So this, whatever 6 months that we have, 6 months in the sense, half of our life at least, if we try to, be in the thought, study, do studies, do reading, do a lot of, instead of reading novels, we can always pick up a scriptural book and read. So our, likes, we it should be changed. See, Gurudev is to write, right? He was a journalist. He's to also speak, he's to write. So that writing and speaking continued, but the subject changed. So that is what we should also try and do. Is that like, I also have read a lot of novels in my life, right? So I like to read. Now I'm not reading novels. I got rid of all everything. And then I only read books which are Vedantic in nature. And it doesn't have to be only mission books. Huh? Right now I'm reading a book by David Hawkins, Dr. David, Power Versus Force, where he talks about consciousness. So it can be any book. Shouldn't, as long as it's not just fiction and that sort of thing. All right. So this is how these paths are going. And then he concludes in 28. Vedeshu yadneshu tapasu chaiva daneshu yat punya phalam pradishtam ateti tat sarvamidam viditva yogi param sthanam upaiti chadyam. Whatever fruit of merit is declared, yat punya phalam pradishtam, punya phalam, result of punya phala, as springing up from study of the Vedas, from the performance of sacrifices, from practice of austerities and from charity, beyond all these goes the yogin, who having known this, the two paths, attains to the supreme, primeval, essence. See, if you look at these three things that are said here, study of the Vedas, performance of sacrifices, so yajna, so study, performance, and practice of austerities, and from charity. So practice of austerities, penance, tapas. All these, the common thing is what, you know, all of them are falling under karma. See, studying, I told you, people think that they attend Chinmay Mission classes and they're doing Jnana Yoga. It is not Jnana Yoga, it is karma only. Studying, listening is karma. I'm speaking, that is a karma. You're listening, that is a karma. So study of the Vedas is falling under karma. Performance of sacrifice is karma only. Yajna, when you're doing yajna or you're doing whatever work, karma, you may not be doing the physical yajna as told in the past, but you're doing work and you may be doing work with that attitude of karma yogin, which is fine, but nevertheless it is work, so it's falling under karma. Practice of austerity is also karma. If I decide to fast, if I whatever penance that I'm doing is also falling under, unless the penance is a thinking penance, which in Upadesh Sarhi says the greatest penance is to think. So if I am thinking in the lines of Aham Brahmasmi, I'm not this world, this world is, I'm not this body, this world is false. So unless I'm doing that sort of a penance, then it is falling under Jnana Yoga. But all other fasting or whatever, I decide today I will not eat chocolate, tomorrow I will not do this. All those things are falling under karma. And then dana is of course karma too, charity, right? So what he says is, beyond all these goes the yogin. Means he's going beyond karma. He goes into upasana and then he goes into jnana. And then, having known these two paths, why? Because that second path is all karma, no? Because he has some thought, some result in mind, some expectation in mind. All the karmas that he's doing is with that expectation. Therefore, for spiritual seekers, we are constantly told that you must do this karma with only intention of purifying my own mind. Then that is not an expectation, because you are not expecting anything from anybody else. You are saying that, oh Lord, I want to purify my mind. Why? It's because so that I can know you better. So then that doesn't become, this is my expectation that somebody should do something for me or whatever. Okay, so that's why here he says that whatever is declared, because see, fruit, all karmas will give fruit. That is the law of karma, that karma will always have karma phala. And when I expect that karma phala, then I am going to a point of return, means I will come back, because I may or may not get that result in this life. Some actions I will get the result right away. Some actions I will not get the result. Then to experience that result, I have to come back. So rather than expecting results, karma will give its results. Why should I bother my mind expecting it? Let me do my actions to purify my own mind. Let the result, when it is to come, it will come. So if I purify my mind enough, then I might get a clear picture of what God actually is. And might reach that position from where there is no return. Okay. So this is how we end this chapter. Om Tat Sat Iti Srimad Bhagavad Gita Su Upanishad Su Brahma Vidyayam Yoga Shastre Shri Krishna Arjuna Samvade Akshara Brahma Yogo Nama Ashtamodhyayah. We have time, so we will read the first verse, as is our tradition, to ensure that our studies are not over, but we will continue reading. And then we have time, so we'll actually read 1 and 2. The questions we'll read together. Athashtamodhyayah Arjuna Vacha Kim Tad Brahma Kim Adhyatmam Kim Karma Purushottama Adibhutam Chakim Proktam Adidaivam Kim Uchate Adiyadnyakatham Kotra Dehesmin Madhusudana Prayana Kale Chakatham Neosinyatatma Vihi. So are there any questions or is there anything anybody would like to ask? Okay, no questions. So,
Jayati, I will ask.
Yeah, please.
What I understood, what we just learned, all this Shravanam, it's Atmagyan. So what is the difference between Atmagyan and Atmabodh?
No, Bodh is also coming from the Dhatu Buddha to know.
Buddha, haha.
Atmabodh, right? Atmagyan is knowledge.
Correct.
So it's a knowledge of Atma, or the Bodha means understanding Atma. But please understand that when you say Atmagnana and Atmabodha, right now we are only understanding at the intellectual level. We have Jnana, but we don't have the Vidjnana, the wisdom. Because we have not recognized ourselves as that Atma in the seat of meditation.
Yes.
I mean, at least I shouldn't say I have not.
Yeah.
So that's
Okay. Okay.
But this understanding, this listening, and this reading falls under karma. It falls under karma.
It falls under karma. Okay.
Yeah.
So, Atmagyan is then knowledge, and Atmabodh is experience or wisdom or Vigyan.
Bodha, Buddha, to understand, to know. Buddha Dhatu means to know.
So
knowing. The knowing can be of two kinds. See, one is this intellectual knowing. Like now the teacher has said, somebody has said, we have read, we know. Then the other knowing can be the wisdom. Then Jnana also can be like that. Jnana is also Paroksha and Aparoksha. There are two types of knowledge. So Paroksha is what I've heard. Para Aksha. Paroksha means para means other's eyes. It's like me telling you, I have been to Egypt and I have seen the pyramids. So for you, it is Paroksha Jnana because my eyes have seen the pyramid and now I am telling you that it is so big, etc. So it has become, now when it will become Aparoksha, it will become when you yourself go and see the pyramid. Then it is not Paroksha. So Jnana also, right now it is Paroksha Jnana that we are getting.
Okay.
We are getting... Okay, now when we ourselves realize it in the seat of meditation, it will become a Paroksha Jnana. Paroksha Jnana is that which is dependent on something. So when I'm speaking, you are getting Paroksha Jnana because your ears are depending on the air. Otherwise, sound waves will not travel. We are also depending on this computer. We are also depending on the light. We are depending on the Zoom. So when it is a dependent knowledge that I'm getting, it is called Paroksha. But Aparoksha Jnana is without any dependence. And therefore, Aparoksha Jnana is, you know, there is only one Aparoksha Jnana, and that is Atma itself. See, I myself, to know me myself, I don't need anything else. I don't need the computer. I don't need the light. I don't need eyes. I don't need atmosphere. I don't need anything. I know I am. And that is Aparoksha Jnana.
Okay.
So, or Aparoksha Bodha also. Bodha and Jnana are interchangeable.
Okay.
So, therefore, Atma Bodha and Atma Jnana, right now we are getting Paroksha Jnana. We are hearing it, we are getting Paroksha Jnana. Aparoksha we don't have. I don't have at least.
Okay.
So that should be understood. Yeah. It's a non-independent knowledge. Aparoksha is independent of anything else.
Okay. And maybe in chapter 9, you will explain us more Jnana and Vigyan, right? Next chapter, is it?
No. No, chapter 9 is a continuation of chapter 7. See, in chapter 7, if you remember, he made a statement, Sutre Manigana Iva. I am like the sutra, I am like the thread in that string of pearls or string of beads or string of gems. So in chapter 9, he will, this is a digression. This 8th chapter is a digression. he suddenly put these new terms and he forced Arjun to ask a question because he wanted to explain all this Krama Mukti and all this. He wanted to explain. So he forced Arjun to ask a question. Now he has to answer. So 8th is a digression. 7th will continue with 9. In 9, he will explain Sutra. Sutra, he will explain. Sutra, Mani Gana, Iva. Sutra will get explained in 9 and Mani will get explained in 10. Money is what you see. The pearl necklace, you see the pearls, but you don't see the thread inside. So thread represents the substratum, which is unmanifest. And the pearls represent this world. Whatever is manifested and whatever you see is the pearls. So right. What he does is, in 9, he explains what exactly that sutra is, that thread is. There are 15 examples that he has given. Starting with, if you're reading the chapter, Raso Hamapsu Kaunteya, from that, next 3-4 words, he gives 15 examples. He gives Balam Balavata Masmi, Tejas Tejas Vina Aham. So I'm the intelligence in the intellect, I'm the sepidity in water, I'm the heat in the fire, I'm the this in this. So that he gives 15, and then he goes on to Vibhuti, where he gives 75 Vibhutis. In chapter 10, he will explain what that money, what is manifested, how. Chapter 9 is meant for those who have a subtle intellect. They can understand this unseen, unmanifest substratum. And then Bhagwan says that, but not everybody has this subtle intellect to understand this. So if you are still indulging in the world, I will give you tell you a method by which you look at the world, but no matter what you're looking at, you remember me.
Okay.
Therefore, sutra will be explained and money will be explained in 9 and 10. That is the continuation of 7.
Okay, thank you.
But I don't know what the next, any other questions?
No, thank you.
So, did somebody say something? No? Okay. So, like I've already told you, I will not take a class next Monday because after that I'm not here, I'm traveling. I will take the class on 25th of February now. Let me just double check. Yeah, 25th of February is a Monday. I'm coming back on the 13th, but I'm probably going to be quite jet lagged. Also, I need time to prepare. So I need to know what text is to be taken next. And if you could...
Chapter 9.
Oh, we are continuing with chapter 9. Okay, fine then. Fine. No problem. So we'll continue with chapter 9 starting February 25th. And if there are no further questions, then okay. So, good night. Hari Om.
Enjoy your trip.
Thank you. Om Purnamadav Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishate Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. Harihi Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Harihi Om. Okay. Have a wonderful time. And I shall see you.